If the mountain was not there, the road would be both shorter and pleasanter. But there it is, and he must get over it. The old man perceives the Count's partiality for me. This annoys him, and he seizes every opportunity to depreciate the Count in my hearing. I naturally defend him, and that only makes matters worse. Yesterday he made me indignant, for he also alluded to me. "The Count," he said, "is a man of the world, and a good man of business. His style is good, and he writes with facility. But like other geniuses, he has no solid learning." He looked at me with an expression that seemed to ask if I felt the blow. But it did not produce the desired effect. I despise a man who can think and act in such a manner. However, I made a stand, and I answered with not a little warmth. "The Count," I said, "was a man entitled to respect, alike for his character and his acquirements. I had never met a person whose mind was stored with more useful and extensive knowledge, who had, in fact, mastered such an infinite variety of subjects, and who yet retained all his activity for the details of ordinary business." This was altogether beyond his comprehension, and I took my leave, lest my anger should be too highly excited by some new absurdity of his. "And you were to blame for all this. You, who persuaded me to bend my neck to this yoke by preaching a life of activity to me. If the man who plants vegetables and carries his corn to town on market days is not more usefully..."